Our next guest here on the Mitch Albom Show is just a delight. He's been with us before, and anytime you're feeling blue, you can always throw on a little Tony Bennett to cheer you up. I know I do.
It's a must.
Or a little of this.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Maybe the only thing I can say as way of introduction to Tony Bennett is that the only thing that makes you feel better than listening to his music is actually talking to him, because he's that good a guy, and he joins us here on the Mitch Albom Show. Hiya, Tony.
Hi, Mitch.
How you doing?
How's it feel to be immortal?
You tell me, oh great one. I wouldn't know.
Oh, yes, you would.
I was going to start by
it's
asking you that
you,
question.
I'll tell you that.
Well, there's a lot of nice things happening, but having the chance to talk to you before, I'm still talking about the last time you were on our program. And,
thank you.
You just keep going on and on, and now you're touring across the country with Katie Lang. You were singing with Elvis Costello last time and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. is your goal to sing with every pop rock artist out there before this thing's finally done?
Not really, no. I'm pretty selective. For instance, Katie Lang, you know, she has God going through her. She's an amazing singer. And actually, I would love to call the tour It's a Matter of Singing.
One of the attributes given to people like Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald is that they never sing a song the same way twice. Could we say the same thing about Tony Bennett?
That's right. That's my story. I mean, when you hear a record, you know, a lot of laymen, just think that that's how you sing it every night.
Mm.
And, of course, it's I've always surrounded myself with great jazz men. And luckily I can improvise quite well. And every night it's a different performance. It's a different song. It's a different turn of phrase for whatever the atmosphere or the condition of the whole feel of the night always makes it different than the night before.
You know, we were talking last week about what music has become now in terms of the way they record singers. They put so much effects on their voice, reverb, they double it, they run it through a computer, they set it to pitch.
No,
there's actually a device that can make your pitch perfect so that if you can't sing on key, you don't have to worry about it. They'll just run it through the machine.
No.
Compare that to what it was like when you began singing in terms
of...
Well,
I used to follow Billie Holiday into the recording studios, and we had to do four sides in 3.5 hours. So we had to walk in very prepared and knowing what we were doing.
Four sides in 3.5 hours?
All those great classic Billie Holiday songs that you hear that we love and adore. I Wished on the Moon and all those great songs. She just did those.
Just knocked them out. Well, what happened after 3.5 hours? Your nickel ran out?
Well, it would go overtime. They would, the record companies were, they're not as secure as they were when they first started. It was very economical, and they had to make every penny count. And a lot of times, because of the conditions of our society, that was like kind of during the Depression,
Yeah.
And
are you telling me that some of the great Tony Bennett songs that went on to sell millions of copies and are notable for your career were actually done in one take for economic reasons?
Oh, absolutely. Well, not just for economically. We would walk in that prepared.
So give me an example. Give me an example of a famous song that you've done that people know you for, but you did it first take out.
I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
That was a first take?
That was one take.
Wow.
One take for this? Wait a minute.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
That is just amazing to me. You did that the first time out. Did you ever wonder, gee, if I had had one more crack at I Left My Heart in San Francisco, just one more second take, I really could have done it better?
Well, you never really know when you're doing it. I had no idea that it was going to become my signature song.
Right. Well, actually, wasn't it a B-side of
the
record?
I liked Once Upon a Time, which was on the other side.
Mm.
It was from a so-called All-American that starred Ray Bolger.
Right, that's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very well performed and recorded. And I said, that's the A side. And then, boy, in about 6 weeks, all the salesmen jumped on me and said, no, turn it around.
Yeah, flip it over. We're doing okay with this San Francisco thing. Let's roll with it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, if I read my history right on Tony Bennett, wasn't there a period of time where you were at such odds with your record company, I think it was Columbia, in terms of what you felt was quality versus what they felt was commercial, just to prove that this is not a new fight, it's been going on for a long time, that they used to pick half the material for your albums and you would pick the other half?
That's right, yeah.
Wow, what, and
well, you know, they used to say, what they used to say about me, which was hilarious, and that's a whole new world for me now, which is so much nicer. But for years, you know, as a young artist, they would say, Tony Bennett, every time he gets a million seller, he wants to sing jazz. <You know?
laughs> Well, maybe you got the million sellers because you sang jazz, you know?
But that's actually it. In other words, thank God for my son who, he said, you just sing whatever you want and paint whatever you want.
Mm. Well, your son has been a great influence in your career. It was your son, if I'm not mistaken, who made some of the suggestions about sort of getting out there back into the pop world, doing the MTV stuff, doing the Simpsons appearance that you did, you know, sort of recreating yourself. And he was right.
Well, no, actually, what happened was Sumner Redstone, who just has a new book called A Passion to Win,
right.
He explains it in his book that MTV was kind of a losing proposition for him. And his favorite artists were Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw and Tony Bennett. So he told his people, he said, I want to get Tony Bennett for MTV, which is unusual.
Yeah, here's a, we'll take a little break here. And we have a little clip to remind people of when Tony Bennett appeared on MTV and the response that he got from the audience there. It's quite a mixing of the generations. Here's Tony Bennett on that show. As we continue here on the Mitch Albom program, we'll talk more with Tony after this.
Open your arms and you'll open the door to every treasure that I'm hoping for. Hold me and kiss me and tell me you're mine evermore. Must I forever be a beggar whose golden dreams will not come true? Or will I go?
It's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you night and day.
We're back here on the Mitch Albom Show. Tony Bennett is our guest, talking to us. He's touring the country now with Katie Lang, and it is some tour. This is not the tour of your average soon-to-be 75-year-old. He's in Columbus, Ohio on Friday, the 27th of July, Sterling Heights, Michigan, at the Freedom Hill Amphitheater on the 29th of July, Holmdon, New Jersey, on the 31st, and then comes August, which is Charlotte on the 3rd, Greenville, South Carolina on the 4th, Raleigh on the 5th, the Woodlands, Texas on the 7th. Tony, you know, when you get to be almost 75, it's okay to slow down a little bit. You know, you can space them out a little bit more.
Well, I enjoy it too much. You know, I'm one of those fortunate guys. You know, I love what I do. I love to sing and paint, and I paint in the field a lot of times. So when I travel, I can go to all these wonderful parts of the country and watercolor. And then if I get one lucky enough and good enough, I could turn it into an oil painting.
Yeah, and I want to point out that this isn't just somebody who's talking a little bit about, oh, yes, I dabble in a little painting. Tony Bennett is quite an accomplished painter, so much so that he has a book of his paintings out there, so much so that some of your paintings have sold in the tens of thousands of dollars. I don't want to put too fine a price on it, but put it this way, it's not the stuff that's hanging in
that's
the college dorm, all right?
Right.
This is major stuff. I read somewhere, Tony, that you had sort of simplified your life down to basically singing and painting, and that was it. And that you attributed being able to sort of just focus on those couple of things
right. As
why you were able to have that success. Is that true? I mean, is all the rest of the clutter out of your life?
It is. You know, Cary Grant gave me he told me, even though I love filmmakers and film artists, he said, it's the most boring profession in the world. He said, you're on location. He said, you have to wait around, and you know, you never know how the picture's going to turn out and everything. And he said, just become a great singer that goes around the whole world and sings for people and has everybody cheering you and you're alive. You're in front of people. And he said, just do that. And I took his advice. So I've been able to paint a lot more as a result and tour. And sure enough, he was right, because by focusing on two things instead of many things, everybody, the whole world came at me, you know, it's all the books and films and cameo parts and films. And
everybody wants a piece of Tony Bennett. Now, you know, you've learned a lot of lessons along the way. Your life has been a very rich one. There was a period of time where things weren't so great, and it's interesting to me because you are accepted now by a lot of young people, the whole MTV crowd. You're cool both with your people of your own generation and people two or three generations younger. But there was a stretch of time for you where, you know, excess was the thing. You had your drug and alcohol period. You came out of it after a scare. What do you tell the young artists that you work with about that, but particularly some who may be still heading in that direction or involved with that themselves?
Well, all I could tell them is that all my great friends that I used to hang out with, they all died. How about that one?
Yeah, that ought to jolt them a little bit.
And they were too young to die.
Was that what jolted you?
Yeah, that did it. You know, I made a magnificent, actually the most respected album I ever made was with a genius called Bill Evans.
Yep.
And to see how young and how regretful he was at the end of his life, he was on heroin, and he hated what happened to him.
This is Tony Bennett singing with the great Bill Evans, a jazz pianist who died too young.
Beware, my foolish heart. How white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination that's hard to see on an evening such as this.
As we're talking with Tony Bennett here on the Mitch Albom Show, another question I'd like to ask you about your unique generational view. There's coming up on MTV's 20th anniversary, and I know MTV has been, as Conchico Consuela, whatever that character was, very, very good to you in a certain way. It helped in the revitalization of your career. But I wonder, when you look at it, if you think that the whole advent of music television, of videos, of the need for our kids today to see some kind of picture rather than just listen to the sound, has been good or bad for music overall?
Well, you know, it's changed. You know, Sinatra taught me years ago when I was a young boy and I first met him. He said, just come up with something, invent something, you know, some idea that you have to perform. He says, and some producer search you out and find you. And today it's the opposite. Today it's all marketed, it's pre-planned. There's no longevity, you know, they just manufacture an artist. In other words, it's not how good you perform, it's how big you become.
We always talk about what bands used to call themselves or what they were originally called before they became the famous incarnation of themselves. And I don't know if people realize this, but we might have in another world be talking to Tony Bennett with all his talent and all his singing and saying, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Barry. Because wasn't that the name that you were touring under at one point or another?
No, it was Joe Barry.
Oh, Joe Barry.
But, you know, see, when I paint, it's Benedetto, my family
right.
name.
Why Joe Barry, though?
Well, because Bari came from the area where my father came from.
Okay, in Italy.
Calabria, you know, around Calabria. And so Bari, I figured I needed a short name. And Bob Hope changed that whole thing, because when he found me in Greenwich Village and he liked what I did, he said, you're coming with me. He said, what's your name? I said, well, Joe Barry. He said, well, that's...
He said, that stinks.
That doesn't really make sense. He said, what's your real name? I said, Anthony Dominic Benedetto. He said, well, that's too long for the marquee. He had no idea that there would ever be a singer called Engelbert Humperdinck.
Right, yeah, exactly. So he came up with the Tony Bennett?
Yeah, that was his idea. He said, let's Americanize you and call you Tony Bennett.
And that was the end of Joe Barry.
That's right.
Tony was kind enough that I got his box sets in the last time we were on, and I think I've listened to the whole thing through, and that is a piece of work, by the way, if you ever want to get. I mean, there are box sets where they stretch a person's career out to fill like two or three discs, and then there are box sets where even with four discs, they can't get enough good material on at all. There's just not enough room in the disc, and I think Tony Bennett's is that. And don't you have a new one coming out in the fall, do I hear?
Oh, boy, do I have an album. You know, for my 75th birthday, I can't believe it. I mean, I am really... you talk about counting your blessings. I did a duet album with... and let me see if I can get all the names now, but it's a duet album. It's nothing but blues. And it's with Bonnie Raitt,
wow.
Diana Krall,
wow.
Stevie Wonder, B.B. King, K-Star, Natalie Cole, Billy Joel. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It's something else.
Okay, I'll order 10 of them. Give me 10 of them right now. That'll be my official Christmas present for everybody. I'll take a whole ream of them. Send me a box.
Wow, when
does it come out?
It's coming out in September.
Oh, great. Looking
forward
to it.
And, boy, I'll tell you, every artist gave their all. It's the most... I never ran into anything like this. I mean, every side sounds like an A side.
They recorded in 3.5 hours,
yeah.
Right?
I think they take a little bit longer now. Here, speaking of duets, here's Tony Bennett with Katie Lang as they're touring America right now. I'll give you a little preview of the duet kind of sound that will be coming out on his upcoming album in September.
Remember that moon glow gave me.
I think I'm just going to come on tour with you, Tony, and be like a roadie and listen to the two of you sing this entire tour here.
When I'm in your area, please come by. I'd love to meet you personally.
Well, that would be my pleasure, Tony.
It would be an honor for me.
Well, the honor really is all mine.
I keep thinking of your book. It's so impressive. The whole world, you know, should really use that book as a philosophy and a religion. It's a wonderful...
Thank you, Tony.
You know, Jack Lemmon was a great friend of mine. And
yeah.
He said that of all the films that he ever made, he said that was the greatest film he ever made.
Tony, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
And thank you.
I could just do 6 hours with you every day. All right?
Thank you.
So happy 75th, an American treasure for sure, Tony Bennett. Appreciate you being on the program.
And I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living this